It's 8:08 on the morning show. Good morning, Kay Winkleman.
Good morning, Chris Berg. Happy April 4th.
Yes, it's going to be a nicer day than yesterday, and hopefully we won't get blown away like yesterday, too. It's time for Community Conversations, brought to you by Floyd County Medical Center. Kay Winkleman, somebody has handcuffs next to you, probably here for you.
Well, he's got not only handcuffs, but some odd-looking... toy over there. Charles City Police Chief. Yeah. What's that toy for, Hugh? We have Police Chief Hugh Anderson in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're always coming in with surprises.
Surprises. Yeah. It seems like I was seriously just here.
I know.
The months just fly by anymore. They say as you get older, they go by quicker, and they really do. But at least, like Chris says, this is a beautiful day. We don't have the wind. We don't have the snow. My brother came up from Cedar Rapids yesterday, and he almost didn't make it because there was a blizzard down there yesterday.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, he said he couldn't even see when he started out. So, the changing seasons here, but it is nice. It's supposed to warm up, I think.
At some point, it's supposed to warm up. So let's talk about, first and foremost, the Safety Traffic Enforcement Program, or STEP. It's ongoing now. What is that, and what do we have to do?
So you don't have to do anything except obey the law. It's that easy. So, basically what it is, it's time when we do stepped up enforcement. We do a little more, I guess, focused enforcement. So we'll have officers out there, and they're actually... that's all they're doing. They're not taking calls for service at that time or anything else. The state, through the federal government, gives us a grant, and so it pays for their wages to go out, and they run traffic and try to focus on safety for the kids, whether it be, you know, being buckled in, the kids buckled into their safety car seats, or just seat belted in if they're older or anything else. So you'll see us out there. We're along with probably a couple hundred departments across Iowa that do these. And there's usually four or five, they call them waves. And these waves happen, and normally around a holiday, but this one here is around this time. So
as long as you're following the law, there's nothing for you to worry about.
Exactly.
All right.
As easy as that.
Problem solved.
Bike riding is going to become a thing very soon as the warmer weather arrives. Bike registration. It's a smart thing to do, correct?
It is. It's completely free. We already have had a lot of bike thefts. If you leave your bike sitting somewhere, somebody may borrow it and take it with them, and we may find it across town later on. It's a pretty common thing that somebody will swipe a bike, take it for a ride. Many times we get them returned. So we have a lot of bikes actually at our storage facility. Those will go on auction this spring. So if you lost your bike within the last year, you may want to call us. An officer will go out and check the storage facility for your make, model, color, and everything else, try to find your bike. But that being said, that's a really good point, Kay, is that if they're registered with us, we'll flip them over, we'll look at the registration, and then we'll call you and say, hey, we got your bike, and you can come down and pick it up. So your kid or you don't have to be without a bike then for weeks, months, or whatever it takes. But we do get a lot of bike thefts, and some of them aren't, you know, they don't steal them to, I guess, keep them. And it's more of a theft of convenience.
They just want to get to their point of location a little sooner than if they were on foot.
Right. So don't leave
the bike. You take that.
Don't leave them laying in your front yard. And if you do ride them downtown or something, just make sure you lock them up. So.
Now, speaking of that, keeping an eye on your bike, you probably should keep an eye on your vehicle, too. A good reminder to not leave cars running and unlocked because of a situation that happened just a few days ago. Talk about that.
That is a good idea, Chris. Especially during the winter, what we find is we all want to keep our vehicle warm. So we either start it and leave it running out front, or we pull into the store, the gas station, whatever, and leave the car running and run inside because we're only going to be there a couple minutes. And not faulting the people who had theirs taken the other day. Definitely not trying to make fun of them, but that is a good learning lesson, Chris. So he was in there literally a few minutes. And that's all it takes is for somebody to jump in your car. So if you are going to leave them running, either try to lock them if you have a spare key, because sometimes people have to leave them running because their battery's going dead or something. But try to lock them if you have a spare key or something. This isn't uncommon. We get thefts where people jump in cars and take off with them. Sometimes they get found down in Texas. Sometimes we've had them all the way out in New Jersey. Many times they're found more in the state or locally, but.
And this car was found where? Right here?
We haven't found that car yet.
Oh, you have not.
No. But you did find those responsible.
We did. So there are warrants out for the individuals who took it. They were actually escapees from B.G. Clark, which is a residential facility, sort of like a halfway house, I think is what they were normally called, over in Mason City. And so they had absconded from there, and somehow they made it to our fine city and decided they didn't want to stay and borrowed a car. So
I feel offended that they didn't want to stay in Turtle City. I mean,
maybe they did. Maybe they're driving it around.
They should just go get
it. We haven't seen it. So.
So they're still missing.
They are still missing, along with the car. So there's warrants out for their arrest. So basically, sort of the way that works then is that car gets entered into a national database. So now, whether it goes by some of the traffic enforcement cameras actually read the plates on all cars, ours don't, but they'll read them on all cars. So it may go by one of those and it'll pop up as a stolen vehicle, and then the police in that area will try to find it, or an officer just pulls them over for speeding or anything else. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have warrants out for them. The car is wanted. Like I said, sometimes the owner may get contacted by us and say, hey, your car is down in Texas. Unfortunately, you know, there's no recourse for us to retrieve that car. So if your car does get stolen and it gets found in Montana, you have to pick it up in Montana or wherever it is. So, or arrange to have it, you know, brought back to Charles City. So,
well, the power of social media sure helped with that case.
It really did. It really did. So sometimes when we have, I guess, a dead end on a case or we're not too sure on it, we had, you know, no idea. These people aren't local. Normally, as officers, we're able to identify. We deal with a lot of the people in town, so we're able to identify them. And we have some other methods that we use, too. And we were not able to do that with these. And so once we put them on Facebook, we got a call shortly thereafter. And it was actually from a person from Charles City that works for a Department of Corrections over in Mason. And they said, hey, I happen to know these individuals, and they helped us out with it. So, which was awesome. So that's where we ended up with that one, and we're able to get charges on people. And now if they did find the car, let's say, you know, the Missouri State Police pull it over down in Missouri somewhere, they would know that the car is stolen, and then they would have charges for being in possession of a stolen vehicle. So that crime would actually take place there in their jurisdiction, wherever that is. So they may arrest them on that, not being said that they would both get arrested or anything else. But this way now there's actually warrants on both subjects. So we'll go from there.
The halfway house looked really pretty nice.
Yeah.
For now.
So, and B.G. Clark, it's a step up. So it's a residential, so they don't have to, you know, go straight to a prison or anywhere else. They can actually, you know, spend a little bit of time there trying to work out in the community. But obviously some people abuse it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you got to give thanks to the business owners and even residents for, you know, stepping up with that security footage that the pictures came from, too.
Yes. So, yeah, thank you. Everybody knows that came from McDonald's. We thank McDonald's. It's getting to the point where, like you mentioned, Chris, a lot of residents now have them. So it's very, very, very useful for us. So the car was taken from a Quickstar, one of the Quickstars in town. They also had footage, but McDonald's had better footage. So we used their footage, which was, we really appreciate that. And most of the businesses in town do not require us to go through subpoena or anything else. If we go through subpoena, it can take us, you know, days, maybe even a week to try to get that footage. So when they're cooperative like this, something that, you know, actually didn't affect McDonald's, but they were more than cooperative to give us that footage. So, yes, thank you very much to the businesses, McDonald's in particular in this one, and through all of these. A lot of times on Ring doorbells and everything else, we get stuff. We had a few weeks back, we ended up having some chasing going on around town. It might have been actually before I was in here last month. I don't know. Like I said, time flies. But there were some people chasing each other around at high speeds around town, and we ended up getting several videos from houses, from residences and everything else to corroborate the crimes that they had done as they're running through stop signs and running each other off the road and stuff. So it was, you know, good to have that. So yeah, you're completely right. So if you have video and the police come, you don't always have to give it, but it's more than helpful.
Yeah,
on it.
Definitely. So, benefits everybody involved.
It does.
So we are being joined with Charles City Police Chief Hugh Anderson on Community Conversations brought to you by Floyd County Medical Center. So now, speaking of all this driving, I heard you had to send an officer to driving school. Is that just because they're a horrible driver?
Well, I can't comment on that. But yeah, we did actually send one down to driving school. Officer Jordan Smith went down to be a driving instructor. So he'll come back then. And it's like everything else. You would think that as officers, especially some of us with a little more seniority, we wouldn't have to go and do driver training every year, but we still do that. So it's just like firearms. It's like everything else. So every year we try to train on stuff that we do every day. Most of our probably accidents are very minor with the squad cars. They're usually backing or something else. We're trying to get out of, and during an emergency or something, we're trying to get out of a space. We ended up, you know, backing into something, a pole or something. So this helps us in a lot of different ways. It gives us, you know, a little bit, another layer of, you know, we drive every day, we put a lot of miles on, but it gives us another layer of training. So
does that training involve like training for, say, high speed pursuits and all that? Not that you have to deal with that much here in Charles City, but
it does.
It's a possibility.
It does, yeah. So most of our officers are also PIT trained, which is pursuit intervention technique. And that's where you'd come up behind the car if there were high speed chase, and they would actually, you see them in all the videos where they end up pushing on the back fender of the car and spinning the car out, trying to end a chase before it gets more dangerous. So it involves that. It involves high speed. It involves backing. It involves quite a bit of different stuff. So,
good day to learn.
It is. Yeah. Hmm.
So. Well, let's move on. One other topic you wanted to discuss: gift card scams and other scams that are going on.
Oh yes, gotta love the scams.
So, the scams, and again, not making fun or not poking at anybody, but in these last few weeks, we have gotten several people that have sent quite a bit of money. And so when somebody calls you and tells you that, whether they be somebody that needs help, whether they be your grandson, your granddaughter, because now with the AI, they're able to take your grandson or your granddaughter's voice and actually make it sound like them. So if you get a call and it says, hey, you know, this is such and such, I have your grandson here, he's under arrest and he needs some money to get out, and then that person, you think you hear your grandson say, hey grandma, can you help me out, just tell him, give him what they need or something. It's not your grandson. It's not the way things happen. Do not send them money. If they call and say that the mortgage on your house is behind, do not send them money. So when I say exorbitant amounts of money have been sent, we're talking into the tens of thousands of dollars. Okay. Here. And this
and
is something.
AI, let's clarify. AI means?
Artificial intelligence. Okay. So their computers now are able to. So they'll actually record. They may go on to, like, they'll go on to your children's videos on Facebook and pull their videos off of Facebook or TikTok or wherever. They'll pull their videos off and they'll get their voice, they'll get their intonation, and they'll be able to mimic their voice and have it say That's whatever crazy. They want. So very easy for them to do now. It used to be, you know, you would see it all pasted together, sort of chopped and pasted. They don't have to do that anymore. So they get the intonations of the person that's going to speak, and then they're able to take that voice and then record whatever they want to on it. It's pretty scary, but I guess the big thing is, if you think at any time that this just does not feel right, it's probably not right. The biggest thing we find is that people buy literally tens of thousands of dollars worth of iTunes cards. People should not be taking payment or giving payment to the IRS or to a bank or to anybody else with iTunes cards. So, and I mean,
that should be the dead giveaway.
It right should, there. But it's not. And they prey on people that are a little older a lot of times, and maybe they don't understand what an iTunes card is. And so they think this is like, you know, I don't know, a disposable debit card or something. Or if they ask you to go get disposable debit cards. Once you do that, once you go to Hy-Vee, once you go to wherever and you buy these cards and give them that PIN number on the back after you scratch it off, there is no possible way to get your money back. So people come to us and say, hey, I think that I did this and I spent $40,000 the other day. I spent $40,000 doing this. How do I get my money back? It's not possible to get your money back.
Oh my.
So just, I guess I can not stress enough that we take these literally weekly. That somebody is scammed, if it does not sound right, do not send it. Call us. And what they tell you every time is, do not call the police and do not tell your bank why you're taking out money. So if they tell you either one of those things and they're legitimate, why would they not want the police to know? And why would they not want your bank to know? So if they tell you either one of those things, it is a scam. So give us a call. First off, they try to keep you on the line. If they're keeping you on the line and instead of saying, hey, call me back at 1-800-whatever, then there's a problem. So we had, and I don't know if I've spoken with this one, but a very, very, I mean, a very, very good save out at Triumph Surplus. One of the young girls was working out there, and somebody brought in a package to mail. And she was, I would like to probably guess, about 14 to 16. Somebody brings in a package to mail, an elderly person, and she goes, hey, what is this? Do you need it insured? And they told her that it was, I think it was 29,000 some odd dollars in cash that she was sending through UPS. And the young girl's like, well, what are you sending this for? And she explained that, hey, they told me that my bank is not safe anymore, but they're going to put this in a safe place for me. So, and you know, some of us were thinking, that's obvious, that's not true, you know, and everything else. But they can be so convincing, because this is all they do all day long, is sit on the phone and convince people of this stuff. And so that person brought in literally their life savings, cleaned out their bank account, put it in a cardboard box, and was going to mail it through UPS. And if that young girl hadn't had the forewith to actually call us and tell us, that lady would be missing all her money. So wow. I really wish, and I'm not chastising the banks, but I really wish the banks would do a better job.
Because well, yeah, especially, well, yeah. You know, an older resident taking everything out of their account.
There's several banks in town that will actually say, why are you doing this? And then the attitude of some of the others is, it's their money, they can do what they want. I understand it's their money, they can do what they want, but it's also their life savings. Why are they taking this all out at once? Or why are they taking $40,000? Why are they taking $30,000?
If that is not their normal, if it's, right. Especially if it's not a normal transaction.
Because it's actually, it trips a SAR, and what a SAR is they have to send a report in to the Fed, to anything over $10,000, and so it trips that, and you think if it would trip that in your mind, it's a suspicious activity reporting. Suspicious, the first word in that acronym of SAR. So it's suspicious to the Feds that they're doing $10,000, so maybe it's suspicious to you as a banker. So I guess I just stress to them, you know, please, please keep your customers in mind as they're taking these very large sums of money out of their accounts.
So let's say you do fall for that scam, you send the money. Obviously, the investigation is going to be difficult, if not impossible, to catch these people. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so a few years back, an individual was sending quite a bit of money. Ended up being their life savings of well over $150,000 before it was over. They sent this throughout throughout a year, probably, in trying to help somebody else is what it was. So what happens is they send this money to an address. I think the first time they were sending it to somebody in Kentucky. They're sending it to this person in Kentucky, and then later on they were sending to somebody, they moved and they were sending to somebody in Florida and everything else. So what they're doing is they send this money, you get scammed, Chris, and they say, hey, you need to send this money to Kay Winkleman, and this is the address. Kay's already been scammed. She's already gone through this, but she's still on the hook. So what you do is you send the money to Kay. Kay is instructed to send the money to me. I'm instructed to send the money overseas. So they wash their money by sending it through many different people. It makes it very, very hard to track. So this person in town that lost so much money, even after all of that, they thought that this was still legitimate, and they started being one of the middle people that was actually accepting checks from all over the nation, and then they would take them, deposit them into their account, and then ship it out of their account. So they were legitimate checks. So Chris's check gets cashed by Kay. Kay puts it in her account, and then Kay writes a check on her checking account. So now it's gone one step further, and then she sends it to me. I actually deposit it into my account, and then so on and so on. And they may do this sometimes a dozen times, send it around. Because, I mean, if you and I were sending, you know, $20,000, $40,000 or whatever, we'd be like, man, we want to make sure this is secure. To them, it's just, you know, ones and zeros somewhere in the system. Because it's not their money yet until they get it. So many of these scams will end up, the last destination will be Florida before it gets sent overseas. and most of them will go overseas. The gift cards, like all the iTunes, everything else, those are impossible after you do that to track. They immediately drain that account. As they're talking to you, you give them that PIN number, they immediately drain the account there. So we've actually had people, and they're like, hey, I literally just gave them the PIN number, you know, a couple seconds ago. They come into the PD, didn't feel right. We hop on to that account, and it's already gone. The money is.
That's a lot of work for criminals.
It is, yeah, instantaneously. The minute you're giving them that PIN number on the phone, and so it's not one card. I mean, when we're talking, they're going in and buying $250 Apple cards or $500 Visa cards or whatever they're buying, and they're buying quite a few of these, and then these guys in there scratch the back. So they don't say, give me the physical card. They don't care because they can take it so much quicker this way. It used to be Western Union. A lot of these went Western Union. Go down to, do you have a Western Union in town? Well, the problem is, do you know if we have a Western Union?
No, not anymore.
We did. We did at Hy-Vee.
Exactly. We did at Hy-Vee. So, but some people don't know that. So you get, you know, somebody that's elderly, and they're like, yeah, go to your Western Union office, thinking that, hey, we're in a bigger city and there's five Western Union offices, one on every other corner. And so I think that got to be where it was just too much of a fight. So they'd look it up real quick and they say, it says here, it's at your local Hy-Vee. Nope, it's not at Hy-Vee. I've been to Hy-Vee and everything. And so now this is easier. Now they tell them, hey, go into your store, buy these cards, and they know where they are now. So they've hit enough people in Charles City, they know where to tell people to go to and everything else. But the one right now that's going around where people are losing a lot of money is telling them that there's something wrong with their bank account. But do not tell your bank, because your bank's in on it.
Oh, good Lord.
But you can, if you talk to somebody long enough, and you guys know the conspiracy theories and everything else that are out there, you talk to somebody long enough on the phone, you can get them confused. Mm-hmm. And these people, when I'm telling you, I'm not going to give any names or anything, but these people, I don't blame them. And I don't think at all that they're naive or not intelligent. It's just that they just get taken because they listen to these people for so long and just they get drawn into this whole thing. So quick story. My dad, he passed away now. He's about 90 something. And he gets a call from a salesman and he has nothing else to do. My mom's passed away at this point. So my dad would listen to him and I'm always afraid he's going to get taken in by a scam. I said, Dad. And so I took away his credit cards and everything because he was always like, hey, I like these people. Can we send him some money? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so he listens one day and I go over there and he's talking to somebody and I'm like, and I'm standing around. And finally he goes, and he gets off the phone. And I was like, what have you been doing? He goes, I've been on the phone for an hour and a half, but my phone was going dead. I was like, you've been on the phone for an hour and a half. Who are you talking to, Dad? And he was talking to a salesman that was selling siding and windows, and they're telling, and so he had him, how many windows do you have? And Dad's like, well, let me count. And so he puts them on hold, he walks around, and I actually feel bad for the salesman at this point. My dad walks around and he's very slow, you know, teeter-tottering around, and he comes back and says, how many windows I have, how big's your house, blah, 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 and everything else. And so at the very end he's like, what color siding do you want? My dad's like, I don't know, I've always been impartial, you know, to yellow and blah, 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 and everything else. And in the very end the guy's like, well, you know, we'd really like to come look at your house. And my dad's like, I forgot to tell you, does it matter that our house is brick? And the siding salesman was less than impressed, but I think of that. But anyway, that's the biggest thing I can say is, I mean, I'm glad you guys brought that up. The scams are just huge right now. We probably get one or two a week, and it's not that they're sending $200. It's they're sending thousands of dollars we're losing. And my heart really aches for these elderly people that have saved all their life to get $40,000 or $27,000 or whatever it is, and then thinking that it's not safe. So my dad lived through the Depression. And this lady who was going to mail her life savings probably did also. And so she's thinking, I've seen banks fail. I've seen all this stuff. And now they're telling me my bank's not, but I'm going to send it to somebody. The one who just sent it out to a lockbox in New Jersey. We just had somebody send their life savings to a lockbox in New Jersey. I'll keep it safe. Well, our banks are safe now, so don't need to worry about that, folks. So the banks are safe, and they're probably a lot safer than the lockbox in New Jersey, because you're not going to see your money if you send it out there again. So yeah,
they're all FDIC insured. So
yeah, great point. That was a great one. Sorry about that. I rambled on.
It's very, very important.
So the moral of the story when it comes to scams is, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Hang up, and if you have any questions, call the Charles City Police Department.
And the biggest two are, if they say do not contact your family, the police, or do not say anything to the bank, any of those, if they're telling you not to tell somebody else, and if your bank's calling and you're like, hey, I should probably ask my son, and they're like, nope, why would your bank be saying that, or why would anybody else be saying that? So if they're telling you not to contact somebody else, there's a problem with it. So
yeah, it kind of goes back to the phone call I had a couple of months ago to where I apparently had an arrest warrant out for me. And I'm like, oh, that's funny, you're not Hugh. So I didn't believe him. I just hung up.
Another common one there. So that might have been the day I came by. You were home sick that day. So I'm glad to see you back with the living. You were looking pretty rough that day.
Yeah, that was a horrible time for sure.
I decided not to arrest you just for that reason. So.
You didn't want to get sick.
Yeah.
Ah, totally understandable. Well, thank you very much. Chief Hugh Anderson joining us here this morning on Community Conversations. We'll talk to you in the month of May.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
It is 8:33. We have your North Iowa weather coming up, plus your quiz on the way. Hang on.